Chapter 15, Marked for Life. The sound of raindrops pattering on the cobblestone outside of Rackmead's room helped to soothe him as he stared at his hand. His room was dark. His door was shut. Closing his eyes, he breathed in slowly and once again tried to summon the images. Since returning from the Fuenica's estate, he had found himself locked in concentration, repeatedly summoning the flame in his hand and subsequently putting it out. But every time the process started with a trail of verbal thoughts that slowly led to images. He was enthralled by the concept of simply willing the images into being. Inclining his head towards his hand, Rackmead focused his attention on where he knew his hand was. He felt his fingers stretch, wrapping around what would be a ball of fire. His hand twitched and the image flared alive. But rather than consume him entirely, it roared in the corner of his mind. It appeared off to the side, suspended in the black void that occupied the rest of his mind. He opened his eyes before the fire came and watched as his palm turned red and started to glow. The warm light that resonated from it was mesmerizing. Flexing his hand, Rackmead watched in awe as the red glow blossomed and an orange flame burst free from the center. Holding it there, he felt the incredible heat that pulsed from it. A vortex of fire raged in the ball trapped in his palm, scattering shadows against the wall as it rotated. He brought his other hand to the ball and palmed it, moving it from one side to the other. As he moved, the images changed, accompanying the movements he made. Widening his fingers, his hand passed through the flame and swallowed it up, the warm glow returning in its wake. Placing one hand over the other, he felt the heat that emanated from his skin. It was nearly just as strong as the flame had been. Touching his face, he felt his cheek warm. "Flameless heat," the word whispered in his mind. It was voiceless, but he felt it all the same. Rubbing his hands against each other, the glow passed from one to the other, and he could feel his other palm heat in response. Moving his right hand up in a jerking motion, Rackmead watched as a ball of flame erupted to life in his hand yet again. A pulse through his hand and the fire was swallowed up. The glow subsided and his body jerked. Sweat pooled at the top of his brow and he breathed heavily. He went to move, but his muscles tightened. "My Oishia," he thought as the realization passed through him. What little training he had done since returning home had taken its toll on him. Rackmead had to pace himself. He'd been so enthralled and captivated by the newfound spells the Word of Fire had brought into his life. He had nearly forgotten the Word of Illusions. But Malice had been direct about how instrumental the Word would be. He had to ensure to devote some of his time to learning those abilities as well. Rackmead lit the candles in his room with mild effort and reined in his focus. Pushing past the images of fire that came to mind so easily, he closed his eyes and steadied himself. It took a couple of minutes, but soon, the moving picture of fire and the power written within slowly fizzled out of existence. In the void, he felt the presence of illusions coming to him. Its whispers were quieter than the Word of Fire's, for he had yet to pour any of his essence into it. But still, it beckoned him. He opened himself to it and felt the images pour into him. In his mind's eye, he saw a shimmering form before him, a bulbous cloud of pulsing light. Rackmead stuck his hand into it and felt the mass surround his fingers. It was viscous and airy at the same time. He could move his hand through it easily, but grab hold of it just as well. "Ethereal veil," the chapter whispered in his mind as he brought the form into his hands and began to shape it. Bringing it towards his chest, he pulled on the amorphous blob and held it over the Word of Fire that clung to him. Intuiting his intent where the veil was positioned, the word vanished. No longer could he see it, but rather, it was replaced with the visage of how his skin had looked before that night. Letting go of his hold on the word, The veil slipped from his hands and blinked out of existence. Ragmead could see the word of fire on himself once more. Reaching out to the word of illusions, again Ragmead brought the veil into his hands. Positioning it ever so carefully, he fit it over his chest and let go. The visage hung there, displaying the desired effect. He snuffed the veil and thought for a moment. He went to summon it again, but rather than calling it to his hands this time, he willed it to appear in the same spot. Sparking to life, the shimmer appeared before his chest, melding into reality quickly. Wanting to test the limits of this newfound power, Rekmeet stood and slowly began to move about his room. He moved slowly at first, thinking of his steps before he took them. The illusion clung to him as he moved, but he found that the quicker he walked, the more the veil lagged. It didn't quite hang in the air on its own, but would jostle out of place momentarily before settling back into place. Taking this into consideration, and being conscious of it as he moved, he found that the veil stuck to its place more easily, but required far more attention. Rekmeet found himself growing wary. The energy the spell's burned had left him weakened. He remembered Malice's warning and pulled the soulstone from his pocket. As it came into his palm, he felt a trickle of energy bleed into him, the same cacophony he had heard at the Fenikas. Calming himself, he reached out to the stone and opened himself to it. In an instant, everything was different. Rekmeet no longer found himself standing in his own room, but rather, on a farm. A simple stone wall lay in front of him. The silencer knew where he was. He would have recognized it anywhere. Mira's home. It was the place of the most traumatic thing that he'd ever experienced, but also the greatest moments of his life before that day. He was intuiting with the stone, and it made sense to him. Having such an emotional connection to Mira's farm made it the perfect hub to interact with the words of illusions from within. Rekmeet felt in his heart that he could craft and weave mirages within this realm. A thought occurred to him as he began to walk around the property. This farm was the Uisha, at least, a representation of it. Mira's farm was an embodiment of his new connection to this magical essence. The visage changed and his vision was pulled forward. A tree stood before him, dazzling white leaves cascading down in a burst of wind. The leaves folded over one another and changed, a cloth whipping in the wind, the tail end of a robe sleeve, and then he saw her. His face blanched and his feet stopped. Yvonne, the marked child. He didn't know how, but he knew. She was ethereal and vibrant. His perspective morphed. The experience wasn't the same. He wasn't moving, wasn't even standing in front of her, but found himself fixed and watching. Yvonne moved fluidly, gliding one arm over the other as she twirled and spun, the sleeves of her robes tracing behind her. She was graceful and refined. She was dancing. Rekmeet saw glimpses of the tendrils that latched onto her skin through the robes. They were larger than the ones he had seen on any Inksayer or Branded. Every time she turned, he caught a flash of the word of knowledge on her back. It called to him. It steadied him. The scene changed again and his focus was on her hands. As she moved her arms back and forth in fluid motions, he watched them. Her fingers moved slowly and smoothly, but precisely. A glimmer formed between her fingers, a veil intertwined in their tips. She pulled and pushed her hands through the air before her, and the glimmer morphed and changed in response. She was teaching him, guiding him. He wasn't meant to mimic her movements, but she was imparting the knowledge of weaving an illusion. He felt the waves of realization wash over him with every successive push of her hands. He felt her eyes fall to his, and everything froze. The wind stopped, and Yvonne stood still. The image changed. The farm was gone, replaced by the interior of a large library. The true magnitude of the surroundings startled Rakhmead. In his periphery, and in the distance, he could see the walls, climbing high above his head. He was surrounded on all sides by monstrous shelves littered with books and jars filled with words. Tables lay about the room, scattered with open books and loose papers. The floor was covered much the same. Before him, at the center, seated behind a large desk, was Yvonne. She was writing in the book before her, eyes rolled into the back of her head. They glowed a vibrant white. Her eyes returned and settled on Rakhmead. The visage shifted again. The marked child was still seated at the desk, but this time she wasn't writing. Her hands clutched the handle of a sword, buried to the hilt in her gut. Blood covered her stomach and gushed from her mouth. Rakhmead felt that he could hardly stand as the visage changed again. They were still in the great library, and Yvonne sat before him. Gone was the blood and the sword, but replaced by a horrific image. Her body was covered in large and monstrous tendrils. They grew out from her, sprouting from the wound once left by the sword and extending well beyond her flesh. They coated the desk before her and reached down to the floor. He caught glimpses of the walls surrounding them. The tendrils seemed to be everywhere. Sunlight poured down in patches through holes in the ceiling. The library looked like a forest, the very branches sprouting from the tendrils that sprung from the marked child. Rakhmead found that he could look around and turned his head towards the corner. In a flash, the image zipped, tunneling in the direction he had looked. A massive wall, made entirely of sinewy black tendrils. They were not stilled, but squirmed, pulsing with life. A sickening squishing sounded loudly. The tendrils lapped over one another, sliding and seething as they receded from the center, revealing a small room made entirely out of tendrils. At its center was a lone book, a tome whose energy pulsed and vibrated with an intensity that reached into Rakhmead's soul. He found himself approaching, kneeling before it. The book was wrapped in the tendrils and the structure rose as he approached, lifting and spinning so that the cover faced him. The Book of Death turned to face him, and he felt that his lungs held no breath. He started to suffocate as he stared at the unholy text. Its power radiated, and its bloodlust pulsed. He reached his hand towards it. In an instant, the visage disintegrated, and Rakhmead fell back quickly, the soul stone shooting from his hand to the ground. He was in his room again, covered in sweat. As he separated from the stone, the candles went out, and he fell to the floor. I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Please check out next episode, chapter 16, The Road to Rant. And as always, the song I used was Fluidscape by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license, at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/3.0/.